The attempts by the Community Justice and Mediation Center, or CJAM, to conduct a public hearing on the Downtown Safety and Civility Initiative on Saturday were temporarily disrupted by protesters who took issue with the process and those involved. About 15 minutes into opening comments, Nikki Borowski, co-owner of the Backdoor Nightclub, stood up to lead a group called the Equity Collective in reading a statement of protest. Interrupting the speaker, the group complained some individuals who were homeless and living in poverty wanted to be part of the discussion, but were not able to attend because there wasn't enough advance notice given. Here's an excerpt of the interaction between Borowski and one of the event's organizers, Lisa Marie Napoli.
We are given 48 hours and zero information, but we are dealing with people's futures. We deserve more than 48 hours and zero information.
I apologize that the press release got out later than we expected. I apologize about that.
I don't care about your apology. What I care about is reading what I have to say.
Borowski claimed the group represents, quote, business owners, students, and members of the working class whose living experiences are situated within the scope of the discussion, unquote. The group went on to read a two-page statement leveraging a number of complaints, including the accusation the initiative has ignored the root causes of poverty, addiction, and homelessness. Borowski also complained not enough members of these disenfranchised groups were given a voice in the process. Napoli offered to arrange a follow-up session.
Absolutely not. You are not going to involve the people that this affects the most at the end of this process. While attempts were made to engage some of our most vulnerable community members, 19 was the count that was given this morning, their input was trivialized when actual decision-making power was handed over to the current task force.
Many attendees left the room, but about 40 people stayed to hear the protesters' statements.
We demand that this meeting be adjourned immediately and rescheduled for a later date, and that at least 2 weeks' notice, as well as ample publicity, be given in order to allow members of the public to arrange to attend and to prepare. Publicity necessarily includes outreach to affected populations via media that they regularly access. We hold that any conversation about community safety, civility, and justice will necessarily center the needs and well-being of those in the community who are most vulnerable.
Borowski goes on to assert the task force created by the city will not be able to see beyond its own interests.
We assert that the task force is neither representative of the larger Bloomington community, nor is it objective. As a body, the task force has a vested interest in maintaining control and further gentrifying downtown Bloomington. The overwhelming majority of individuals named in the task force and its staff, among them a business attorney, your chair, a business promoter, a real estate banker, a land developer, and the chief of police all stand to gain financially from the prospect of increased policing. We find it highly unlikely that a median income of the task force members is anywhere near Bloomington's median income of $28,000, or that a single member is among the 39%, whopping 39% of Bloomington residents who live below the poverty level, which is currently defined as $11,770 for an individual. Unlike so many Bloomington residents, these members of the task force do not have to navigate the complexities of poverty and socioeconomic insecurity in their daily lives.
Borowski and the Equity Collective voiced six demands in all, including that the task force be immediately dismantled. The collective wants to see a new, more diverse task force created that would have at least half its membership come from those who live daily with homelessness, poverty, mental health issues, and/or addiction. In its protest statement, the collective said some of the action ideas to be discussed on Saturday were, quote, deeply flawed and, quote, flagrantly discriminatory.
As it stands, this document is deeply flawed, and any discussion that springs from it as it is will serve only to normalize and legitimize many flagrantly discriminatory suggestions contained therein. We will strike from the document measures that are wholly unconscionable and for those that violate individuals' lawful rights.
Lisa Amsler, a steering committee member and IU SPIA professor, and Don Griffin, a local real estate agent who is a Safety and Civility Task Force member, each offered to meet with the collective on the spot in a separate space, but were rebuffed by Borowski. The public input sessions eventually got underway. It was the third stage of a three-stage process developed by CJAM called the Downtown Safety and Civility Dialogue and Deliberation Project. In a previous stage of the project, stakeholder groups or focus groups had developed a list of action ideas to address a broad range of issues, including housing, education, mental health, addiction and abuse, detox services, and policing. In this third stage, those same topics were up for examination by the broader community. The ideas of establishing a work release program and constructing a public bathroom downtown were also given time for discussion. Attendees on Saturday gathered in discussion circles and were tasked with honing the list of action ideas to the highest priorities. The resulting list of priorities will be forwarded to the Mayor's Safety and Civility Task Force. Liz Grenette, director of CJAM, spoke with me a few days after the event. Grenette said her organization is tasked with finding common ground and will remain neutral. Grenette reminded me that the list of action ideas were recommendations from 117 fellow citizens representing multiple stakeholder groups who had participated in the previous two stages of the process. Grenette said one of the groups was composed of 27 service providers that worked closely with the homeless community and those who have drug and mental health issues. Grenette said a social worker who formerly worked with Shalom Center had spent many hours liaising with that community to make sure their voices were represented in the process. Grenette said from her own perspective, to say those voices were not represented is to, quote, belittle or disregard those that were in attendance and who fully participated in the process we designed, unquote. At the end of the community discussion on Saturday, attendees were given a chance to make final comments. Some were encouraged by the community coming together to share ideas. Others expressed concern about the homeless population being referred to as a nuisance and said that a greater effort needs to be made to ensure more people from the street are receiving the services they need. Still, others expressed doubt the initiative would actually lead to solutions. Their doubt was rooted in the fact that when the mayor announced the Downtown Safety and Civility Initiative in August, decisions had already been made to increase policing, to enforce panhandling laws more strictly, and to increase surveillance in public parks. In his closing statement, Mayor Hamilton indicated there could be another opportunity for public input in January of next year. Reporting for WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn.